Psalm chapter number 34, if you would, go ahead and turn there, and we'll read a few verses from this chapter, though we'll look at all the chapter in the message. And if you're here this morning, you still have not received the message, the notes of the message, raise your hand. The ushers will get you the notes as well. They should be in your bulletin, but if they weren't there for whatever reason, just go ahead and raise your hand, and the ushers will get one to you. That way you can follow along through the message this morning, and hopefully it'll be a blessing for you. Psalm chapter number 34, Psalm chapter number 34, and we'll read verses 1 through verse number 8, verse number 1 through verse number 8 of Psalm chapter number 34. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful this morning, because you truly are good. Father, we truly can say this morning that we have and are blessed by thee. And now as we study this passage of Psalm 34, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray first of all that you would fill me with your spirit, that I would be able to communicate this message in a way that would be clear and understandable, that would be a message that would be an encouragement to many here this morning. I pray that your spirit would not only fill me this morning, but then search our hearts, as the psalmist said, to see if there be anything in our lives that needs to be changed, any area in our lives that needs to be given over to you. And I pray that you would that your spirit would search our hearts this morning, that you would help us to understand and then apply your word and be more fully committed to you as a result of hearing your word. I pray now that you would just bless this time. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, if we could, we will fill our hands with all the wonderful things you give us. Then we lift them up and give them back to you.
To you, Lord,
and do it thankfully.
Thankfully,
perhaps the most overlooked and under-celebrated time of the year is the time that we're starting to enter into now. The Thanksgiving holiday has been a holiday that sadly now is known more for being just the turkey day or the big day of a turkey dinner or a big dinner with mashed potatoes and gravy and pumpkin pie and all these kinds of dressings that go with that meal. It's getting known for the Christmas shopping that happens on Black Friday and the preparations that come with the Christmas season. And Thanksgiving is slowly fading away from really what it truly should be meant to be celebrated. And that is the Thanksgiving of God. In fact, it was instituted by our nation as at its founding, really close to before it even had its independence, as the pilgrims first came. And they had a very rough winter. And seeing as God provided for them to survive that winter, they celebrated with the Indians at that time. They came together and they had a great meal, and it was a meal of Thanksgiving. It wasn't really a meal just to get them prepared for Christmas. It wasn't just a meal to sort of pass the time and have some fellowship together. The focus of this whole celebration was to be thankful to God for what He had done, for the blessings that He had brought over the past year. And really, as we get into this year, into this month, it behooves us as Christians to take time to just stop and reflect upon the last really 11 months and see what God has really done, even in the year of 2017, to bless us. This was a holiday that is meant to be thankful and give thanksgiving to God for what He has done, not only for us as a nation and as a family, but personally. In fact, it just seems like our nation is getting further and further away from this this holiday. It seems like right after Thanksgiving, right after Halloween, it goes right into Christmas. Yesterday afternoon, or actually in the morning, I got to go with my family. We went to the mall there and got to see the new expansion of the mall. It looks pretty awesome. If you haven't been there, you should see it. It looks really nice. But as we walked through the mall there at La Plaza Mall, every store, every decoration through the hallways there is already Christmas. It's like Thanksgiving is not even in existence anymore. It goes from spiders and spider webs and pumpkins that are carved out to Christmas. But our nation is getting away, it seems like, from this time of just being thankful to God for what He's doing. And the sad part is there's really not much we can do about stores and the decorations that they put. There's really not much that you can do perhaps for the nation and how the nation goes in its way and what it votes for and what it does in many areas. But the sad thing is that many Christians are following into that same exact pattern. Many Christians are beginning to forget what Thanksgiving is all about. They're not taking time to just be thankful about what God has done in their life, what He has done over the past year for them. And it's incredible that we just really, as Christians, need to come back to that time in the month of November where we really look back and are thankful for what God is doing. It's amazing how easily we can forget the blessings that we have received in life. In fact, in 1978, here in our country, a man by the name of Thomas Hansen, who lived in Boulder, Colorado, sued his parents for $350,000 on the grounds of malpractice of parenting. He said that their parenting was so bad that he was going to have years and years of costly psychiatric treatment. Now, if you've had kids this morning, you know if anyone needs treatment, it's parents, okay? That the kids just bring a lot into the life of a parent. But the ungratefulness of a man like Thomas here to just say, I can't believe my parents have brought me up and done so badly for me, when anyone that has parent that is a parent knows how much it costs to raise a child. A child cannot survive on its own. There is no Mowgli, Jungle Book wolves raising children anywhere in our world. They eat children, okay? They don't raise children. It takes a loving parent to raise a child. And no matter how many mistakes a parent has made, the fact that you've survived 10 or 15 or 20 years just shows that there was someone that loved you and someone that invested in you and someone that brought you to this place. And it's amazing how unthankful we can be and how ungrateful we can be if we let our heart go that way. Well, in Psalm chapter number 34, this is a psalm in which David wrote after a time in his life, after an experience in his life where he had made some wrong choices, some bad mistakes. If you know anything about the life of David, you'll know that David was a very courageous man. At a very young age, some believe that he was either 15, 16, or 17 years of age. He killed a giant by the name of Goliath, a giant that was, by some estimations, probably 10 to 10 and a half feet tall, a man that was a man of war, a man that was very strong, a man that was known for killing others. In fact, for 40 days, he challenged anybody in the nation of Israel, any soldier, to come out and fight him, and nobody would. In fact, the Bible says they would go and hide from him as he blasphemed God, as he stood and challenged them and in defiance of them, until a 15 or 16-year-old young man by the name of David came out and challenged him. He saw that there was a need for a cause. There was a cause to stand up to this giant, and he did. And with God's help, he defeated that giant. But then you'll find on that day, it was a momentous day, a day that changed the course of David's life. He came from just being an unknown shepherd boy that just looked after his father's sheep to being the giant slayer. And that got the attention of not only the nation of Israel, but it got the attention of the king of Israel by the name of Saul. And Saul was a man that started watching David and became very jealous of David. As people in the nation of Israel began to sing David's praises, they would say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And Saul did not like that very much. It moved him to be a jealous king and very jealous of David, to the point that he began to persecute David, pursue David to kill him. On two occasions, he narrowly killed him with a javelin. And finally, David is sent on the run. For 10 years, David is a fugitive running away from King Saul. And he wasn't running away because he had done anything, any kind of crime, merely because he stood up to a giant and slayed a giant. Now he's being pursued by the king. Now he's looking to be killed by the king because of that very fact. And so David for 10 years is on the run. And I can't imagine a life like that, a life where he's having to go from place to place. And really, there's no place that he can just call home. There's no bed that he can lay down in and feel at peace and feel that no one is going to come out and get him. In fact, for those 10 years, all he is thinking about is who's coming after me. And you can't blame David after a few years of this, that David begins to doubt God's promises. God had promised David that he would be the king of Israel. The prophet Samuel had come to David and anointed him as a young man and said, "You are the next king. God has chosen you to be the next king of Israel." But in those times of going around in the wilderness and running away from Saul, David begins to doubt a little bit. David begins to think, I don't know if